Everyone knows the apron is the hardest part of the ring, but this is the nerdiest part of the ring. Your weekly news roundup for the wide world of professional wrestling. I am your host. I am the five-star man, Asa Gray. And joining me at this time is the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Dalton.
Yeah.
It's here. It's the biggest weekend of the year. It is WrestleMania season. It is WrestleMania weekend. We are, as of recording, 2 days away from night one of WrestleMania. And I am super excited. Unironically, just, I am legitimately stoked for this weekend.
Yeah. I thought you had more to say after that. So I was like, all right, cool. Happiest, super happy to be in this weekend. And then it was just like dead air. And I was like, oh, he wanted me to say words. Shit.
Yeah. It's like, I look at the, cause we still don't record this in person. I look up at the screen and Dalton's just like fiddling with something off camera. And I'm just like, am I keeping you from something?
I need you to know I wasn't fiddling with anything. I was literally looking down. Like, I was looking at, like, my computer, like, I was looking at, like, the down key on my keyboard. I was not touching a thing. I was just like, I heard, it's like, the whatever, happiest weekend of the year, and I was like, alright, cool, he's gonna keep talking, and it got dead, and I was like, oh shit, my turn. Now you know what it's like to be in a tag team with me. Because that's very much adult moment.
Yeah, but I don't get to beat the shit out of you afterwards.
You're acting like you haven't done it before.
No, I haven't.
You haven't, you're right. Yeah, no, you kind of get fucked in this whole situation, my bad.
Yeah, goddamn.
No, I'm super.
It's the WrestleMania preview show. I'm excited. I'm not at all slap happy from a very easy and light week that I have had so far. And now I gotta drag your carcass across the finish line of this fucking podcast.
And now you know what it's like to be in a tag team with Dalton Anthony.
I don't know what it's like to be in a tag team with Dalton Anthony, but I know what it's like to have to host a fucking podcast with him for the last 12 years. Oh, I want to kick you in the teeth. So bad. So bad. Anyway, this is the WrestleMania preview. Shut up. No, now you don't. Now you want to talk. Oh, now you want to talk. Okay. No. This is the WrestleMania 40 preview show. I don't know if you've heard anything past the yo at this point, audience, of what I decide to leave in. But it's the WrestleMania preview show, WrestleMania 40, WrestleMania XL. We're going to be talking about both nights of WrestleMania. But before we do that, we're somehow going to focus on the positives of pro wrestling. Because the internet is such a toxic place for no real reason. We try to do our part to combat that and share something in wrestling that made us very happy. The power of positivity. We talked about this a little bit before we started recording, like, 2 hours ago, and Dalton's is a much more serious one, so I'm going to go first, because the tone is way off, and because, like, we're not talking about any other news this week, this is strictly a WrestleMania preview show, I do want to mention that Adam Copeland had the Cope Open Challenge.
I am apparently like one of the few people that can say it without issue. Because Cardona was talking about it, which airs the same day we air. I have the early preview. Mm-hmm. He was talking about it on the major podcast thing, which, by the way, he did not tell Mark Sterling he was going to be there.
That's funny.
And like, Mark Sterling found out through Daddy Magic. He was just like, hey, your boy's going to be facing Adam, and he was like, oh shit, I didn't realize that one of the guys he manages was there, and he was just like, no, Cardona. And he was like, Matt's at Squared Circle, and he was just like, he's on the board. He kept it quiet from everybody. But he was like, he couldn't say Cope Open either. Like, I was like, that is like, it's, I've never had an issue saying it, but I could see how it could get confusing.
It makes me think of Cold Open.
Yeah.
Like from a television show. And it's just, it's such a weird name. Like, I don't know why he calls it that.
Because it's close to Copeland.
But
Cope Open,
okay.
Copeland.
All right. That doesn't mean it's good. Like, it doesn't mean it should happen.
I didn't say it was good. I'm just giving you the reason.
Your scientists were too busy asking if they could. They didn't ask if they should.
Should, yeah.
But I love the idea of Cardona answering that challenge. Because of the history between the two of them, the Major Brothers. Yeah. Becoming the Edgeheads, what was it, like 16 years ago on that night was the WrestleMania that they were all involved in with Undertaker. Yeah. So to see that come full circle on top of just like the continued success that Cardona has had.
Oh yeah.
Is like, it's just, it's a very neat thing. And it did legitimately, like, it made me very happy when I saw that that is what that's how that went down.
I was working on my action figure shelves when it happened. Cause I had told Sadie, I was like, I need to fix my Marvel Legends shelves because I've been so deep into the Marvel recently with X-Men 97. And since that happened, I've like wanted to play the old X-Men Legend games. So I had gotten done beating, I beat two Saturday. And I was like, I'm going to fix my Legends, which is not an easy task if you're listening to this. I have a lot of action figures. And I start on shelf one, and like they're like, we're going to start Dynamite, or Collision. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. I'm going to keep messing with this. And then all of a sudden, I hear Sadie, who is a giant Cardona fan. Like, the only reason we went to go see them in Chicago was because Sadie wanted to see them. Like, I thought it was cool, but like we went to Chicago for that for her whenever they started the podcast. And I just hear, Cardona, Cardona. And I was like, well, shit. And I go out and it's him answering the challenge. It was super cool. And it was like, it was such a good match, and just like both of them talking about it on their social medias and stuff, and like Copeland being like, he had to deal with like dealing with only top guys for months, and I'm happy to like see that all of those lessons he like not only like listened to but learned from and like applied them. And it was a fun match. Like,
I liked the double crossbody into the double clothesline into the double into the big double boot.
Yeah.
Like, that was funny. Like, it's a little much, but I liked it.
Yeah, but it's a cool story that they were telling where it's just like, no, Cardona's paid that much attention to him. And, mm-hmm. like, not too long ago, Cardona was even saying about, like, if he could have one match with somebody, it was Edge. And they did a vlog, which is a really good vlog. You need to watch it. And it's live on YouTube right now. Like, you can go see it. But Cardona's, like, in a car, like, heading there and talking about, like, I always wanted to verse Edge, and like I thought I was going to get that chance with the Edgeheads, and it fell through, and then Edge had to retire, so I was like, I'm never going to get to wrestle him, and then he gets brought back, and then I get fired, and I'm never going to wrestle him, and then he gets signed to AEW, and I wasn't there. He's like, I thought it was never going to happen. But yeah, no, he comes out and makes his entrance, and I look at Sadie, I was like, that is the smartest motherfucker in wrestling today.
Yeah.
And she was like, how? And I was like, because you know he probably made like $5,000 during that match alone. And that pop, I'm sure Tony Khan heard and said, was thinking, all right, so how much is it going to cost me to get this guy on the regular? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, you're not going to get him on the regular, even if you give him enough money.
I don't think that's true. What you're saying is, you think, how much is it going to cost me to sign him to a contract?
Yeah.
That I don't think he does. But I absolutely think that if Tony Khan was like, hey, for the next 4 months, 6 months, I need you to keep Wednesdays open. I need you to keep Saturdays open.
Well, that's not, Saturdays aren't happening.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's like, and that's when Cardona's like, I can do Wednesday because my Saturdays are booked through like 2028.
Yeah.
They are accounted for.
Yeah. Like, he might do Wednesdays, but yeah. And it's one of those where it makes me happy because I'm a big fan of, and I've talked about it on the show, I'm a big fan of people getting paid to wrestle.
Yep.
And Cardona is, like, the prime example of somebody getting paid to wrestle. And it was a fun match. It was just, it's neat to see that that's what AEW does with open challenges like that. Like, I think the coolest open challenge that WWE ever had was the Cena US Open.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's still only so much you could do with that. Where it's just like, yeah, no, it wouldn't surprise me if Brian Myers shows up in 3 weeks now. Or, like, who else could they call in from, like, could we get Gangrel opening, like, accepting the challenge 1 week? Like, there's a lot of cool shit that AEW can do because they allow themselves to do it. That mm-hmm. make me happy. That's a really good one. And I totally forgot that happened because of my power positivity completely stunted everything else that happened to me in wrestling this week. And I picked the Bray Wyatt documentary. I don't know the actual name of it. It's on Peacock, but it's
Bray Wyatt Becoming Immortal.
Thank you, that one. I always thought the CM Punk documentary was the best documentary WWE ever did. And then this one came out. And it beat the dog shit out of that one. It is two of the most beautiful hours of documentary I've ever watched because of just, like, how revered this guy was. While also talking about, like, the issues that he was dealing with, like, creatively, and about how, like, they never sugarcoated that he was difficult to work with he was only difficult to work with whenever it became with the things he had in his mind.
They did a really good job of framing it to make it seem like, yes, he was difficult to work. He could be difficult to work with, but it was because he cared
so much. Yeah.
It wasn't, he was difficult to work with because he was a dick and refused to put people over.
Yeah.
You know, had drug issues or, you know, he was difficult to work with because he was a douchebag. He could be difficult to work with because, like, no, he had the vision and he was passionate about it. And, you know, it was his baby.
We talked about it last week, and we said, I believe the challenge was how quick would it be until I started crying?
12 minutes.
13 minutes and 48 seconds. I timed it. That's the first tier.
I ballparked it.
Yeah, and you were right, because you even, like, I texted you when it happened, because you were ahead of me in watching.
No, because I texted you of just, like, very early, and I'm already in, and you're like, oh, shit, I knew there was something I was supposed to watch.
Yeah. So you were, like, maybe 20 minutes ahead of me in watching it, so you were that, like, you finished it before I did.
Yeah.
And I texted you, and I was like, I've already cried. And you were like, is it the sister part? And I said, yes. And that's when you said you started having the issues with, like, the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been so happy that something got made that I hated watching. And not because it wasn't done well. It was done incredibly well. But it's the whole thing, like, Seth Rollins sums it up perfectly in the documentary, where he's just like, I remember thinking that it was bullshit, to the point that I still think it's bullshit today that he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that he doesn't believe that he's not gone, it's hard for him to believe it's real, that he's still, like, that he's gone. And, like, even Triple H said, he's like, it just feels like I haven't seen him in a while, like, that he's gonna, like, pop up anytime.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking heartbreaking that that's the case, but it's, like, it's done so well, and not only does it talk about Wyndham at all, like, they talk a lot about him just as a person, but they talk about, like, how we got the name Bray Wyatt. It talks about, like, the Husky Harris thing was a wash, so he goes back down to Florida and comes up with this fucking crazy-ass character, and, like, brings in Dusty Rhodes, and Dusty loves it, and Dusty's the one fighting for him, and just, like, the evolution into, like, okay, cool, creative has nothing for me, I know what that means. He goes to his best friend who creates shit, and just, mm-hmm. like, we need to fix this, and that's how The Fiend gets made. And, like, we lost a beautiful person whenever Wyndham Rotunda passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And it never felt like we truly got any, and not that we were deserving of it, but it felt like we never really got a proper send off for him that felt adequate to what he was and what he meant to wrestling. And, like, nothing is ever going to truly feel that way. But this documentary very much was, like, a very beautiful, like, this was who this person was as an in-ring performer and as a human. And these are all the people that, like, knew him the best and getting to talk about him. And it's like, it finally felt like we got something that was, like, I felt like, it's weird to say this because I didn't know him at all, but, like, watching it was kind of nice to get that, like, last bit.
Yeah.
Because there was things that we had never heard, like, there was literally interviews that we did not hear Bray ever do.
Yeah, it was, like, they had done interviews from him as Husky Harris on NXT. Like, is, like, the sit-down, I guess they probably, like, interviewed everybody for a while, and then just kind of cut up and picked and choose what they broadcasted. But we got the Husky Harris interviews, we got, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff of him and the Firefly Funhouse. It, like you said, I second everything. Like, it was a fantastic watch. It was difficult at parts.
A lot of parts. Like,
yeah, because they go through chronologically. So it starts with, you know, him being a high school college athlete into FCW, into NXT, like, you know, yada, yada, yada. And so from the re-debut at Extreme Rules until pretty much the end of the movie, I was crying the entire time.
Yeah.
just openly sobbing. And like Audra was late, like, so I felt kind of bad for Audra because I was watching it in bed last night because I was tired and I knew I wanted to watch it because I'd heard such good things and it was starting to infiltrate my TikTok feed.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be able to watch it in context. I didn't want to see just like bits and pieces of it cut up into, you know, 2 minute segments. So I was like, all right, I'm going to watch it tonight. She came in probably like halfway through, maybe. And I told her, I warned her, I was like, hey, I'm not going to be talking. Like, I love you. We will hang out later. But like, just so you know, if you're in here, this is what I want to be doing. And she's totally cool with that. And I felt bad because like it ended. She's like, well, that was uplifting. And I was like, you were bored. She's like, I know, I'm the one that came in. But yeah, like that from him, because it was just like they show a lot of the promo he cut after he came back at Extreme Rules. And that just like broke me for several reasons. Like when we were doing the tier list, that's the S tier right there of just like, he got emotional. He got to express to the fans how much they meant to him. The fans got to like that reaction at Extreme Rules, like got to show him how much he meant to the fans. And it was just, I fully agree with Seth Rollins. It's bullshit that he's gone. And it's the same thing too, like talking about, you know, walking his sister down, was the first one.
Yeah.
And then like it got real hard when they were talking about Brody passing.
So
and that fucking interview that they did for him, like I'm feeling it now. Like it's just
yeah,
like,
so your S tier, like Pete Cry, that was mine. Like the second they said like and Brody John Huber passed away at 41 and I was like, oh, like, because again, that death took a lot on me. Like that one fucked with me real hard. Because again, good dads, that's, I can't. And it's, by the way, wrestling recently, like the ones that have been dying too young, apparently the best fucking fathers. So like, I have not been doing well when it's been coming to these wrestling deaths of the younger guys. But like, so yeah, the Brody one happens and then all those feelings get kicked up. And pretty much from that to the end, I was telling you, I was like, it was easier for me to tell you when I wasn't crying.
Yeah. The line that he said about like, no one could ever fill the hole that's left by John passing, but I swear to God, I'm going to do everything I can to try. And he's, oh, like that one was just like up and the knife has turned.
Yeah.
In the heart.
It's we're talking a lot about it because like this was something that, and we knew this was going to be a thing for both of us.
Yeah.
It's worth watching if you have, I mean, you're going to get Peacock this weekend anyway. So like you have it for a month. So here's what I suggest. Do not watch it this weekend. Don't do that.
No.
Watch Mania and then give it like next weekend. Watch it next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if you feel like sad or upset, when you start it, do me a favor, don't watch it. It's not going to help you.
Or, you know what? I say screw it. Lean into it. Feel the feelings.
Oh, it's,
you're,
yes.
You're sad and you listen to a sad song and it feels good. You're sad, but it feels good.
Yeah, but that's a song. Like, this is a thing that talks about multiple people passing away way too young. Like, and this is real life. Like,
no, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is it's okay to feel the emotions and to lean into the emotions. Because, like, don't try to just fight it and, you know, do what's best for you, obviously. But, no, I say just if it's like, I don't think you're ever going to, there's ever a proper mood to watch something like this. This isn't like, oh, you know what? I'm feeling kind of a rom-com tonight.
Oh, no,
you know what?
I kind of wish.
Tonight's a John Wick night. There's not, you know, I can't think of a time where it's like, I'm going to watch this very interesting documentary that's going to just devastate me emotionally.
Yeah. So, like, bouncing off of this, and we can talk about Mania. We lost a very, like I said earlier, we lost a very beautiful soul in the world of wrestling whenever he passed away. And at the end of the day, that's like, four kids lost their father, someone lost their fiance, like two parents lost their son, Beau lost his brother. But the very end of it showing off what the Fiend was supposed to come back like was equal parts so fucking cool, mixed with equal parts of this is the biggest kick in the teeth I could have gotten about this. I mean, like, as selfishly as a fan, because like that new Fiend mask, I didn't like that the mouth like was like tore out and it looked like horse teeth. That was a little weird, but like the overall mask looked cool, and I never realized that the stitches were a date.
Yeah.
That was fucking like that was getting figured out how the sausage was made. But like the reverse mask, which I'm sure if you're on wrestling internet at all, you've seen, but mm-hmm. like it being a 3D scan of JoJo's face as a marionette.
Yeah.
Of just like, that was the most Bray Wyatt shit. Like that, yes, Bray definitely had a lot of say in that costume, because that Fiend's costume was so fucking Bray Wyatt that it wasn't even funny. And it, like, I'm happy we got to see it. I'm gonna say the Dalton things. I hope we get a figure of it, because why the fuck not? It was really cool to see that. And like, I'm equal parts torn about the whole Bo Dallas, like, Uncle Howdy thing at the end. Because, like, I liked it and I didn't like it. Where it's like, oh, cool, are they going to let Bo still work for, like, it, like, because he was talking about it in the thing. He was just, like, doing that really reinvigorated my, like, love for wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, well, shit, maybe WWE will be like, hey, let's do something. And, like, that was kind of cool, but then the end of it being, like, so the end is the lantern, and it's flickering out, and then it comes back on, and then Uncle Howdy, or Uncle Howdy's silhouette is behind it, and then it cuts out like a Bray Wyatt thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, it was cool to see, but I was, like, man. Like, you could have done that on Monday Night Raw. Like, that would have been the perfect Raw after Mania thing. You could have literally said, hey, this documentary's up. And then whenever, like, they get an announcing that the documentary's on, it then do that cut. That would have been so fucking dope.
I'm going to disagree.
Are you? And that's fine. This is a personal taste thing.
This is why. This is the only reason I disagree is because I think you really need the context of the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Because because WWE, and granted, it's a new regime, it's a new time. But we have seen WWE do very, very classless things when it comes to people dying in real life.
Yes.
And so, without the context of seeing that entire 2-hour documentary ahead of it, if they were to announce a Bray Wyatt documentary and then end with, oh, and by the way, here's an Uncle Howdy tease, that would feel so gross.
Okay, and that's
because I think the general public would, because, like, to me, like, I am also torn on the Uncle Howdy thing continuing, mostly because, like, we've known, it's kind of been an open secret that it's been Bo Dallas under mm-hmm. the mask this whole time. WWE has apparently, like, kept him on through all of this, which, good on them, being kind of doing the bare minimum there. and even before like, it was that Bray was coming, like, when Bray came back and we kind of saw Uncle Howdy, but only on the screen, and you really couldn't tell that it wasn't just a video of Bray, like, Bo's been a part of it from the beginning, and it was cool to see them actually, like, hey, you know, we're not even going to pretend that it wasn't him this whole time, like, this is them kind of just announcing it a little bit, but part of that documentary was just, like, it shows you what a special mind Wyndham was.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them to try to continue something along the same lines, but without him there with his hand on the wheel, is gonna be weird for me. Now, obviously, I don't think there's a universe that Taylor Rotunda does something that he doesn't feel like, you know, honors his brother, would make his brother proud. You know, this isn't going to be a situation where, like, he's going to let himself get exploited.
Yeah.
It's just, man, it's going to be weird to be like, I'm worried about what the internet reaction of it, like, because I don't want to start seeing fuckers be like, oh, this is Kmart Bray Wyatt, or, you know, Great Value shit, because it's not, because he's not there. He can't do it. So, I don't know. I am all for Bo getting to do whatever the fuck he wants to do. Yeah. I just really hope that that is what he wants to do, and, like, kind of continues that story forward, if that's what he chooses. But it is going to be, I'm not going to lie and say that it's not going to be weird watching it unfold while we, like, man, I really want to know where that was originally going to go. And, like, what would it look like with Bray there?
Yeah. And all right, last thing, and then we can bounce to this. But, like, I want that pilot to get shown.
Oh yeah.
Second they were like, hey, we started working on a reality show about, like, cryptids and, like, hauntings and stuff like that, I was like, where's that? I want the full footage. I want it now.
Yeah.
Because, like, those two, like, very much loved each other, like, Taylor and Wyndham. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, no, I want, like, I don't give a fuck if it's just two brothers from Florida just doing Florida brother shit.
Oh yeah, no, it's Finding Bigfoot, but with the Rotundas. Like,
yeah, yeah. I want that so bad. But yeah, no, go out of your way to watch it. It is amazing. It's gonna, like, spoiler alert, you're gonna cry. If you don't cry during this, I want the nerves that you have.
Because, you're a liar, or you're a sociopath.
Yeah, because I couldn't make it 15 minutes in. But yeah, so. No, there's my power positivity. I'm so sorry, Asa, that took forever.
No, that's, part of me almost told you before the episode that we showed, like, let's not, because we're going to want to talk about it a lot. And we did. But no, it was really, really good. And I'm glad we got to talk about it, because, like, catharsis, other people need to feel things. But yeah, so moving on, and this is another example of just, like, Ace is bad at transitioning from serious subject to goofy wrestling. That ultimately doesn't matter near as much. But WrestleMania 40 is this weekend. WrestleMania XL. I am so stoked for it. Like, I've had such a long ass week that, like, I keep finding myself being excited about just, like, man, I get to watch so much wrestling this weekend.
Yeah.
And that makes me so happy. Because honestly, like, with a handful of exceptions, there's really nothing that I'm not actively looking forward to. Like, even the stuff that I care about the least, I think is still going to be, like, really good.
Yeah, there's nothing that looks like... There's one match that I'm like, we didn't need it. And we'll get there. I'll tell you which one it is. But,
I bet I know. But
yeah, I think we already talked about it. But yeah, no, I am not a big WWE person. I've watched the last two Monday Night Raws. Sling doesn't carry SmackDown, even though it said it did. So I have not seen SmackDown the last cut. Like, I've only been watching Raw. So I have, like, the bare understanding of what's going on right now, which is all I need. Because it's Mania. Everybody's going to show out. There's going to be super awesome costume or gear being worn. Like, Lil Wayne is going to debut a song. And, like, I'm weirdly excited about that because I like Lil Wayne. And of course they introduced him doing that the most Lil Wayne way possible, where Jey Uso is just talking to himself in the hallway and then stumbles across Lil Wayne in the Barclays Center.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling's
who's just
dumb.
Hanging out.
Yeah. It's not like he was not hanging out with Kathy Kelly. He was just hanging out with some boxes. But yeah, no, I'm excited. Even for that.
And because, like, and that's the thing that is crazy to me, is it's, like, it's hard for me, which, granted, I have a dog shit memory just in general, but, like, I really don't know of a better built to card for WrestleMania.
The one we went to was pretty solid.
It was solid.
But, oh, like, yeah, I guess, like, main event to bottom. Yeah, you're right. This one has been, like, this is some pretty good shit.
Like, nothing truly feels thrown together.
There's one thing.
Are you talking about the six-person, the six-woman tag?
No. No, I'm not even talking about that.
Okay, the tag match, the LW. Okay, well,
yeah,
we'll get there because I don't necessarily. I agree, but I don't agree. Because
you can tie it. You can tie it, but there's a lot of string.
But is there? Because so like everything has been. There isn't anything here that doesn't have. Okay, hang on. My brain is failing me. Every match has some sort of
story.
There's no 2 week build.
Yeah.
None of these matches are thrown together and been like, hey, you know what? Actually, this is just these people ran into each other 2 weeks ago and now we need to get more people on the card. Like, everything here has some level of, oh no, actually, these people crossed paths, you know, months ago or years ago. Or, like, there is at least a foundation that, yeah, this story may be recent and maybe kind of thrown together, but at least it's you're just adding on an addition onto a house that was already built.
Yeah. I guess the tag match one feels like an unnecessary addition.
Yeah, and I agree with you there, but we'll get to that when we get to that matchup. Night one of WrestleMania, because we do have the card order, I'm just pulling this from Wikipedia. Also, Dalton and I are going to be making our official predictions here tonight. We are putting a little bit of, not money on it. Well, it is money, but just whoever gets the most predictions right gets an action figure from the other. Yeah. So we're going to make it count. Got to make him actually think about it. Night one, kicking off WrestleMania 40. Singles for the Women's World Championship. Rhea Ripley defends against the man, Becky Lynch. And this is one, there's a lot of these matches I'm kind of 50-50 on.
Really?
Yeah. Like, because it's one of those things where this is a WrestleMania that I'm trying to go into as just I want to have fun watching it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to overanalyze and, like, overly think about it. It literally is just, I'm trying to, like, fuck, man, what would be fun?
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, like, I think this is a great example of, like, Rhea winning makes a ton of sense. Becky winning makes a ton of sense. I think they're equally likely. Now, I'm not looking at, like, Vegas odds. I don't know. This could be just a blowout, and I'm talking out my ass. But from where I'm sitting as a fan, there's not a clear winner here. You're looking at me like I'm stupid.
Yeah, I think there is a clear winner.
Is it Ripley?
Yeah.
That's where I'm leaning.
Yeah, I think...
Like, Ripley's... I do think it's going to be Ripley. Like, that is my prediction, but, like...
Are you writing these down?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if I needed to write them down.
No, I'm keeping track.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I'm leaning Ripley. I think that this is kind of the... Like, they gave her the belt a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they rebranded the belt, and then she didn't really defend it a whole lot. And when she did, it was all blowouts for the most part. She did have that really fucking dope match with Zelina Vega right after WrestleMania at Backlash. That match ruled. And she hasn't had bad matches. It's just like, outside of that Backlash one, I really can't tell you a bunch of Ripley's defenses. Because there, for one, mm-hmm. hasn't been a lot. And two, like, Ripley has been so polarizing in her character, and polarizing in the sense of, there's really no hotter, like, woman on the roster besides, like, it's her. Like, you could say she's one of the top people in the company right now, and I'd be like, yeah, she fucking is.
Yeah.
I'm hard leaning towards Ripley for this match.
And I am too. It's just Becky has done such a great job in the media buildup.
Oh, yeah.
That it's like, no, yeah, and even just, like, in her character work. She's making it very, very clear how much this match means to her, how important it is to her that she beats Ripley. And that's kind of why I don't think it's going to be a blowout. Like, I do think that I could very much see the argument that, like, no, this is something, because everyone's so focused on Ripley being the star. Ripley is number one. Ripley's up there. But, like, Becky Lynch is fucking Becky Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
And her getting that big win at WrestleMania over someone she hasn't beaten before to, you know, claim that championship, absolutely could be the story that they go with.
Yeah.
Especially if you look at some of the other championship matches on the card, not just on night one, but night two in general, of like, how many shakeups are we really going to see? Because, like, it realistically, every single championship could change hands this weekend. Except for the U.S. title. Wait, no, that is being defended. Never mind. Never mind. I take that back.
I mean, yes, in the sense that they all have matches. Yes.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I think that there is an argument to be made that every single championship could change hands this weekend. Every championship that's being defended.
I guess. I mean, it could, just in the sense of there's a match for it. So, yes, the other person could win.
So, and this is one that I do think, like, okay, Becky, it would make sense to me if Becky won. I don't necessarily think it's going to happen, but it would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the argument of Ripley just calling out Becky, too, a couple weeks ago, of just being like, no, you keep wanting to fight Liv and Nia, because then when I beat you, you can use your excuse of, oh, well, you were fresh. I, you know, was wrestling every week. That's your own fault.
That's on you.
Yeah, like, rest up. You're going to need it. Next up, the Intercontinental Championship will be defended. Gunther defending against Sami Zayn. Again, I truly do not think my pick is Gunther. Like,
yeah.
With a bullet.
This is going to get a really boring prediction whenever there's a one match difference.
That's fine.
No, there's matches that we'll definitely disagree on just because there's really no stakes in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see Gunther losing here. Now, don't get me wrong. This is one of the matches that I want to be wrong the most.
Oh, really?
Oh, dude, I think it would be so great if Sami Zayn won.
Oh, I mean, I just mean, like, I guess I don't know your other pick, I want Sami to win. Like, mm-hmm. Actively want him to win. You know, yeah. You know my feelings on Gunther.
Yeah.
Like, you know how much of a fan I've become of his.
Gunther.
But,
dun. Sorry.
That music is going to hit, and I'm going to be like, hell yeah, CEO. Wait a minute. The thing that really did it for me is the segment they did on, I think it was this past Monday. It might have been the week before.
It was it was this past weekend. It was
the
so
training
good.
The training video with Chad Gable. Because it's crazy to look at like how ravenous the fans were for Sami to beat Roman last year. And then we didn't get it. And then the crowd kind of turning on him a little bit whenever he beat Gable. Because Gable was the new hotness. Like, oh no, now the fans care about him more. And so the video of just like, hey, you're the one that told me you didn't think I could beat him. Of just like, yeah, and you are your best when you're trying to prove people wrong. Mm-hmm. So let's prove them wrong. It's like, okay. And then talking about just like, you think Gunther's going to care if you're tired or you're exhausted? Because I like that drill of them going for the choke and him having to try to like get out of it. It's just like, no, he's not going to care that like, what are you afraid? Like, tell me what you're afraid of. And it's like, I'm afraid of failing. Like, oh, because it's like, that's been his arc and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I just like, fuck man, I want Sami Zayn to win.
I'm afraid of seeing tears flow down my son's face
mm-hmm.
like your daughter's did.
Right.
It was like, oh, it was so good. I was watching Monday Night Raw and that came up and I was like, oh, cool, training montage. And then that moment happened and I was like, wait a minute, this is different. This is not what I was expecting.
Because they could have done a comedy training montage and it would have been one of the funniest things they did all year because it's Sami, it's Gable. It would have been amazing. But they didn't go that route. They went a super serious route. And it was just like, all right, I see what you're doing. Ooh, boy.
It hit very so hard. It hit so hard.
So, yeah. But you think Gunther's reign continues?
100%.
So the main reason that there's a couple things here. Like, certain results of matches are going to kind of inform what I actually, like, my final pick for...
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, I know what you're like saying.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let that affect mine.
But like, so it's like, okay, well, Gunther losing the Intercontinental Championship does free him up for the world to challenge for the world title. And he's got to lose it at some point.
I don't think now is the time, though.
And it's WrestleMania.
Yes, but if they're going to drop something like that, do it the Monday after.
I mean, they could, but also...
So many good times to do it. Yes, I get what you're saying, and I don't think you're wrong, but it's not going to happen here.
Yeah. Again, I'm picking Gunther.
Yeah.
Like, 100%.
I have to argue against you while you agree with me. Do you know how frustrating that is as your friend? Now, all right, I apologize for everything at the beginning of the show now. Go ahead. What's next?
I was getting ready to do the bit of just like, oh, I'm sorry, am I supposed to talk now?
Yeah, after I was saying it, I was like, okay, now I'm going to apologize so you don't yell at me again.
I'm excited for this match. They're going to make me doubt.
It's
going to
be great.
It's going to be, they're going to get me.
Well, the good news is if we're both, like, if Sammy wins, we're both wrong, so it doesn't affect the score.
Yeah. Six-pack tag team ladder match for the WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championships, except not really, because both the Raw and SmackDown Championships are up for grabs. Both sets of titles have to be brought down. Not by the same team, but the match continues until both sets of titles are down. So, yeah. One team can grab one set of titles, the other team can grab the other set of titles. I truly am hoping for a example of... Because I'm assuming they're going to do the Carabinger again, where both... So they're going to have two Carabingers, one with the Raw titles, one with the SmackDown titles. But I am truly hoping that R-Truth climbs the ladder and undoes the Raw title on one and the SmackDown title on the other and, like, hands it to the wrong person. So, like, the tag team champions become R-Truth and Xavier Woods.
Something like that.
So, like, there's some kind of weird shenanigans there. But the teams competing are the Judgment Day, who are the current Undisputed Tag Team Championships. And it's absolutely bullshit that they did not once get a purple strap for their tag titles, because red and blue make purple. Judgment Day's colors are fucking purple. What are we doing here?
Not our best.
Anyway, Finn Balor and Damian Priest defend against hashtag DIY, or I guess it's DXIY, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, The Awesome Truth, The New Day, A-Town Down Under, and New Catch Republic. And then there's also, like, rumors and rumblings that A-Town Down Under may be getting removed from this matchup with... the rumor mill, which I would be hype as fuck for, is if WWE got Motor City Machine Guns.
That would be nuts.
And debut them here. I don't know if it happens, because, like, they did it with the Hardys. Mm-hmm. But the Hardys had a, you know, decade.
But the Hardys are the Hardys.
Yeah. Motor City Machine Gun are for people like you and I, and if you're listening to this show, you.
You, yeah.
It's for the Mania crowd. Really?
And they're in Philadelphia, which is I hate that I'm going to use this phrase. It's in Philadelphia, which is a smarter crowd.
Yeah, so, I mean, do it. Do that. Give me what I want. Give me what I want. It's not announced. I mean, I guess we could pick that they win one of the titles if you wanted to.
So I'm going to go with, my initial option was going to be Judgment Day's winning both belts.
Really?
But I don't think that's going to happen. Like, that's what I want to happen. If you're just like, who do you want to win? I was like, I want Judgment Day to win both belts, because they spent so much time talking about the stupid rule. And, like, when you think about it, it makes zero sense, because if you're up there and you have time to pull down one belt, you have time to pull down both belts. Right. And, like, not all four belts have to come down, just one Raw and one SmackDown, because the bell rings once one belt is off. So why don't you just take both of them off? Because that's how anyway, it's fine.
Is that what the rule is? Are they not doing the Carabinger where both titles are under the one?
They're going to, but if you ever notice, the match is over in a tag ladder match whenever one belt is taken down. Now, granted, that means both belts have to be taken down. But how many times have you seen one person just take one belt down? But the match always ends once the first belt's off.
I get
so,
what you're
like,
okay.
Just the logic of it makes zero sense. And it's like, yes, I'm splitting hairs here. Mm-hmm. But, like, this is one of those things whenever I've had to fucking worry about tag ladder matches before, that's just like, this is so fucking dumb. Because if you have time to get one belt down, you have time to get both belts down. It's fine. It's fine. But, like, I would love for them to explain this dumb fucking thing so much just for Finn Balor and Damian Priest to pull the belts down. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's going to happen. Especially after Monday. So, here's what I'm going to predict. And you can tell me I'm not allowed to do this, and I'll backtrack it. But I believe Awesome Truth is going to win the Raw belts. And A-Town Down, or whichever team replaces them, is going to win the SmackDown belts.
I'll allow that.
You'll allow that? Okay, cool. I didn't know if you would allow me to make that call. So I want Awesome Truth, and I want A-Town Down, or whoever's in A-Town Down spot.
I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to count the show, though. Like, if Awesome Truth becomes SmackDown Tag Team Champions, I'm not going to say you don't get that point.
Oh, all right, whoever wins.
Or vice versa, I think the two teams leaving is champions. Mine is also Awesome Truth. I do not think I...
Do you want to make this a tiebreaker just in case?
Well, no. Well, I don't think... There's a 0% chance we don't get an image of R-Truth on top of a ladder holding a championship.
Yeah.
After the year he's had, he's getting his flowers, finally. Fucking finally. So yeah. Awesome Truth are going to win one set of belts. My other pick is DIY. I do think DIY ends up moving to SmackDown. Well, I guess R-Truth, either one of them really could move to SmackDown.
See, it's
kind of
weird, because that's why I picked A-Town Down, because I'm just like, all right, Awesome Truth are on Raw, so I need a SmackDown team, and I was like, really, the only SmackDown team I can think of is A-Town Down.
I think it's, New Catch Republic is also SmackDown.
Oh, just so you know, my predictions on Pro Wrestling Unscripted this week, which I did a preview show with them, was New Day and New Catch Republic, but I thought about it for 2 days, and I was like, Awesome Truth and A-Town Down's a better choice.
Yeah. I mean, New Day was close to being my other one other than DIY, but it's Triple H.
Yeah.
But yeah, if A-Town Down Under gets replaced by Motor City Machine Guns, then, like, okay. It might just be them. Yeah, I'll give you that one, though.
Okay, cool.
Next up, Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. One-on-one, this one is harder than it should be because like Jey Uso is the breakout star from the Bloodline.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's Roman stable, obviously, but like they used it to make Jey.
Yes.
I kind of think Jimmy might win it.
God damn it. Can we stop picking the same people?
Well, I haven't officially made my pick yet.
Oh, I am Jimmy.
Is Jimmy?
Yeah. I said that on Tuesday and they were like, really? And I was like, Jey don't need this win.
See, and that's where I'm at, is it's... Jey really doesn't need it. Jey will bounce back fine. But it will also kind of be like, oh, hey. Because it... I very much see Solo Sikoa costing Jey. Like, yeah. I don't think this is going to end up just being a one-on-one. I think Solo, and that's kind of the theme of the weekend, is the Bloodline doing whatever the Bloodline wants to do. So, yeah, I'm also going Jimmy. I've talked myself into it. Because, like, Jey is the higher profile right now, but I do think Jimmy costs him, and that is going to lead to Jey helping Cody on night two.
Yeah. God damn. I was hoping that we'd have different answers.
We are four matches in.
Fair enough.
Of a 13 card show card. So, six woman. Well, this one we're probably going to have the same too. Six woman tag team matchup. Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill versus Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane.
You know they were super excited when they re-signed Dakota Kai last year. Oh, wait, no. I accidentally said that. I meant to say, man, they really showed off Jade Cargill for 8 months.
Yeah.
God, so, it's they're winning. They're gonna win.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously, it's no question. And Jade is going to get the pin
on like, Dakota. Like
probably.
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe Asuka. Maybe Asuka.
No, it'll be Dakota.
But I like the build up to this match a lot though.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, it's obvious this is going to be, you know, Jade Cargill's big WrestleMania debut. She is going to get a pinfall victory. It's going to be cool. But I like the idea of it being like Naomi and Bayley were friends. Naomi leaves. Bayley turns evil. Naomi comes back just in time for Bayley to be like, actually, these people aren't cool. I'm not a fan. And her just getting, you know, jumped by like five people at once. And Naomi was like, hey, this kind of sucks. But Bianca Belair's like, hey, actually, it's cool as shit because she sucks.
Like, she's well, a that's monster. My friend.
Like, Bayley is Naomi's one friend.
That's her Sami Zayn. Bayley is Jey Uso, and her Sami Zayn is Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
Sami Zayn, I said that. Okay, cool.
So I like how Bianca isn't really cool with Bayley, but she's cool with Naomi, so she wants to help her out. Mm-hmm. And then Jade Cargill comes out and is just like, no, I don't like any of this, so I'm going to kick the absolute dog shit out of you.
Mm-hmm. And did, and I'm sorry for saying this on this show because this is not usually the way we take, but just does the hottest pin on, oh God, who'd she pin on Friday? She pinned one of them after she hit this, her, oh God, what's it called? Jaded?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, that awoken something. And I'm a Rhea Ripley fan, and that was still like, I was like, I always knew Jade Cargill was attractive, but goddamn. She's going to do that pin on somebody, Dakota Kai. It's going to be Dakota Kai. Yeah. The other two are champions. She's going to pin Dakota. It's going to happen. And then give me Bianca versus Jade. Give me what I want. We can go straight into it. There doesn't need to be a belt involved. I just want those two powerhouses to wrestle each other. That's mm-hmm. the equivalent of big, meaty men slapping meat, but for ladies. It's just all muscle.
Right. So, yeah. Bianca, Jade, and Naomi. Also, this match is probably going to have the best gear of the weekend. Between 100%. what Bianca makes and what Jade ends up rocking.
Yeah.
And Naomi, too.
And
also, Damage Control has, like, cool gear.
Yeah,
cool Asuka. Shit gear.
Yeah.
I am very curious to see what the New Day cosplay as.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun.
Oh, by the way, I got Asuka's Ultimate a couple weeks ago, and that's, mm-hmm. like, up there for Figure of the Year already.
Cool, that sounds like a Wrestling with Articulation conversation we'll have next week.
Next week, yep.
Next matchup is a tag team match, the Latino World Order, Rey Mysterio and new member Dragon Lee taking on the team of Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. This is the one that we're both just kind of like, this is the match you're doing? Which, like, don't get me wrong. Dragon Lee, Santos Escobar, and Dominic are on WrestleMania's card.
Dope.
Dominic was guaranteed to be on the card somewhere. There's no chance he doesn't do something at Mania. But, like, Dragon Lee and Santos are two people that I'm a huge fan of. And same thing with, like, Rey. Like, Rey is going to have a spot.
Yeah.
That's not going to be in doubt.
He's Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. Whereas, like, Dragon Lee and Santos Escobar both kind of need to, you know, really establish themselves. Like, mm-hmm. I could see there's a world that neither of them are on WrestleMania.
100%, yeah.
So, but the, like, the way they got here is just, it's not the way that I would have gone. Yeah. Not saying it's bad. It's just, like, the rekindling of Dominic and Rey feuding, which, like, honestly, though, the more I think about it, of just, like, Sammy and Kevin were on site for the longest time of just, like, no, fuck that dude in particular. I'm throwing hands. And that just being, like, Dominic's energy with Rey of just, like, even though he's got his own group and he's not affiliated with Legado, just, like, I imagine him just texting him and, like, hey, you want to fuck over your dad? Hey, you want to fuck over your piece of shit dad?
Hey, you son of a bitch.
Say less. Like, yeah. Like, absolutely.
I was taking the other thing. Ray got so happy that he finally got to discover what child abuse was that he just can't get the... He has a taste of blood in his mouth. He's all there for it. Mm-hmm. Who do you have winning this one?
Oh, again, this one's like... The Rey Mysterio Dragon Lee feels like the obvious answer. Of mm-hmm. just like, hey, yay, it's a feel-good moment. Santos and Dominic need it more.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I hate to say this for how long this... Like, both Dominic and Santos have been dealing with Rey, and I'm ready to see them do their own thing. I'm picking Santos and Dom.
Thank goodness. I'm picking Rey and Dragon Lee.
And I'm only picking them because, like, I don't think... I kind of think Rey and Dragon are gonna win. But my pick for the sake of just, like, you know what? I'm gonna vote with my heart instead of my brain.
I watched Monday Night Raw, and the Judgment mm-hmm. Day are really pissed off that Dominic's, like, he was, like, invited them to, like, their clubhouse and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, they're just like, what are you doing?
And so, he offered Andrade a spot in Judgment Day to, like...
So I think what's going to happen is I think everybody in Judgment Day minus Rhea is losing their match.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be, like, Rhea's going to come back Monday and be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I'm going that route with it, but so I don't care who wins this match personally, because again, I think it's we got here in a very clunky way, yeah. And I don't like clunky builds to WrestleMania. And like, granted, this is really the only one that's clunky.
Mm-hmm.
And
part of it too is because Rey got hurt, and so Carlito had to stand in for a little bit, and
yeah,
but and then Rey comes back, yeah.
So I'm going with Rey and Dragon Lee just because I feel like they're going to be digging into that. That Judgment Day thing more. That being said, they gotta shit or get off the pot with Santos Escobar.
100%.
Like, that, like, you're gonna Andrade him, which is really unfortunate whenever Andrade's back, where it's just like, this guy matters, but he never wins anything.
Yeah. But he's a big deal.
But he never wins anything, yeah. Yeah. Next match.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Santos. I do, the main reason that I think Santos and Dirty Dom win here is because of Andrade.
Mm-hmm.
I think Andrade kind of helps, and then they all just kind of... Yeah. And then the main event of night one, the tag team match it's the Bloodline, The Rock, and Roman Reigns taking on the team of Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. If Rhodes and Rollins win, the Bloodline will be barred from ringside during night two's main event of Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. If Rock and Roman Reigns win, the championship match on night two will be held under Bloodline rules, which is essentially a no disqualification match.
Yeah.
Which means the Bloodline can do whatever they want, and it'll not matter. The one true safe prediction is The Rock will be gassed by 3 minutes in.
Yeah.
That's my one shitty thing I'll say.
It's pretty shitty.
Because, like, it's accurate, but he's done better the last couple weeks. It's just that time he comes out, hits Jinder once, and is, like, gasping for air. Like, ooh, rough. Glamour muscles, baby. This one is, again, I could see it going either way, because you have the Bloodline barred at ringside. Oh, that dastardly Roman Reigns not honoring his word when Jimmy comes out to fuck shit up, and Solo comes out to fuck shit up, and maybe even The Rock comes out to fuck shit up. Or I could see them kind of leaning into it and just being like, actually, we're going to have a little bit of a garbage match here with Cody and Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, saying, fuck it, we ball. Like, they're going to fight around the arena, they're going to do all this shit. Like, I could see either one of those.
Yeah.
Because either way, I think you are going to get Bloodline member one gets involved. Here comes Jay. Bloodline member number two gets involved. Here comes Seth. And there's so many options because Roman has done such a great job of being a piece of shit that, like, I could see Seth getting involved. I can see Jay getting involved. I can see KO getting involved. I can see John Cena getting involved.
Yeah, like, Sammy, there's so many people.
There's so many options here, But it's like, okay, well, they do they do it and undercut the stipulation because that's the heel thing to do, or do they just kind of lean into it and we get kind of a hardcore, you know, chairs and
I think we get that.
Tables and shit.
I got Rock and Roman.
I also got Rock and Roman.
Yeah.
And it, but it's going, and it's going to be, but it's going to be the shitty, like, they're, it's not going to be clean. They're going to cheat to win. Yeah. Oh, how is Cody? Cody's now facing down all of the bloodline and there's nothing the referees can do about it.
I think Roman sneaks a tag in and pins, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what happens. I think Rock's about to have him dead to rights. Roman sneaks in and gets the pin.
I actually think it's going to be Drew. I think Drew costs Seth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, we're not predicting finishes at all, but
it's and just... that's one of the that's one of the things that I really like about the more I think about it, the more I love this year's WrestleMania.
Oh, there's so many things that could happen.
Is that, but also just like the way everything is kind of interconnected, mm-hmm. of just like, okay, well, Seth is the world champion. But he's feuding with The Rock, who he's not wrestling at WrestleMania. Except he is, but not for the title. He's actually wrestling Drew McIntyre for the title. Drew McIntyre wants to fight Seth Rollins because he wants to be the champion. But he also fucking hates CM Punk. And so he's spending a lot of time and energy focusing on CM Punk, which, like, why? You have a WrestleMania main event. Like, you have a championship match at WrestleMania. Shouldn't that be holding your attention? But it kind of ties in nice because Rollins is already tied up with this other story. And then, like, and Jay and Cody and Sammy are all kind of tied in with their stuff. Like, I like how it does kind of feel like, no, this is an actual, it's not just, okay, you are siloed and you're only dealing with this one person.
Yeah.
Like, wrestling can be a lot of the time. So it's just, it's nice to see how this, like, things are branching out and breathing. And I can kind of see, like, because we saw him meeting with Heyman.
Like, in the background, yeah.
In the background, like, a week ago or two. Which, like, I don't love, because the whole justification for Drew turning heel was like, no, fuck the bloodline. Fuck this motherfucker for being part of it for so long. But also, he's a heel, so, like, he can go back on his word. What they do.
He but realizes it that makes, it was the...
It will make him much less interesting, but I could absolutely see him being the one to be, like, costing Rollins the matchup, because he's like, I don't give a shit about Cody.
You mean Heyman paid him a lot of money to get involved? Yeah, that would make him very uninterested. Like, there's ways to hand wave it away.
Yeah, but say, speaking of that, night one kicking off with Seth freaking Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre. You're not gonna like my answer, or you're gonna love my answer.
Oh, I'm going with the player hater of the year.
Is the smart answer, is who I should be picking.
You picking Rollins?
I'm picking Rollins.
I don't think it's a bad answer.
I kind of do, but there is one reason I'm picking Rollins.
Okay.
Is because we do see the World Heavyweight Championship change hands. Because after Drew McIntyre loses, he takes out Rollins, or all of the Judgment Day takes out Rollins, and Damian Priest cashes in the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know that he wins it. He should. He absolutely needs to. Yeah. But, like, I do think we are getting the Damian Priest cash in here.
I don't know. I'm very much predicating my whole thing on the Judgment Day losing all of their matches and Rhea being pissed off on Monday.
See, and I agree with that, but I also think that Damian losing the tag titles frees him up, and now we can kind of I think it's a world of I need to stop saying that. What the fuck is wrong with me? I think it's okay, Rhea retains her championship. They lose the tag titles. There's friction because they need Andrade to help Dominic win.
Mm-hmm.
And so Priest finally winning the World Heavyweight Championship, like, I don't know. It makes sense to me. It shouldn't. But it does. And that's just, there's, I just got this gut feeling of like, yeah, no, he cashes in at WrestleMania. Because also, like, the Doomsday Clock is going down. Like, he only has until July. And we're already in April. So,
are they doing WrestleMania back? Are they doing WrestleMania Backlash in Puerto Rico again?
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't know. I was just asking.
I think it's France this year.
Even more reason for Damian Priest to win it there. That was the dumbest thing I'll say tonight. I'm sorry.
Because I don't get the correlation at all.
But I don't either. Yeah, but I mean, just like, because it's random.
I don't know, but I also do think like, okay, they're doing the battle at Berlin, and Europe is all just Europe's like Canada, except it's like, okay, in America, you're the hometown hero. Randy Orton is from St. Louis. St. Louis loves Randy Orton. CM Punk Chicago loves CM Punk. Mm-hmm. Canada has Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. It's just like Kenny Omega, all of them. It's the hometown crowd, even though it's a country. Mm-hmm. Europe it's a continent.
The hometown continent.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, yeah, we're in Berlin, but this dude's from Scotland, and that's like 80 miles away. Like, they're all on top of each other over there. You know, you can throw a rock into two different languages. It's cool. So, I don't know. I do think Rollins retains. Some bullshittery happens. Priest cashes in.
Fair enough.
Or Cody wins, and Priest cashes in on Cody immediately.
Let's go. That's what I want. Give me what I want.
Next up, the WWE Women's Championship match. Io Sky defends against Bayley. In all of the talk, in all of the build-up and the focus on Roman Reigns and the Bloodline and Sammy and Cody, or not Sammy, Seth and Cody, this has low-key been one of my favorite stories WWE has done.
Yeah.
In a long time. Like, I have loved this shit with Bayley. Her talking Japanese to kind of take him by surprise, like, 2 months ago. Yeah. That ruled. Her just jumping Io during the sit-down interview that they were going to do. Like, I kind of wish Dakota hadn't turned on her, too. Like, I do wish she would have stuck by Bayley, but in the end, like, no. Bayley is a woman alone. She is on an island by herself. There's nothing she could, like, she's got no one out there. She's isolated every other woman on the roster. Like, so now, because yeah, again, Bianca's right. Like, no, she sucks now.
This is the Jey Uso story told correctly, where it's just like, but he had one friend. Where mm-hmm. it's just like, no, Bayley's on a goddamn island.
Because Cody is such a paragon of virtue. He is such he is basically, oh, holy shit, I just figured it out.
He's Jesus.
No, he's better. He's Andy. They stole Andy's gimmick and gave it to Cody of just being just the nicest human.
For the people that don't know, we're talking about our friend Andy King from Dallas.
Yeah.
Just because Andy knows we're talking about him, but everybody else is just like, who the fuck are they talking about? He's Andy.
Who the fuck is Andy?
I got to send him a text and be like, you're Cody Rhodes. You'll understand tomorrow.
You're Cody. Hey, what's up, Codester? Just hit him with that. Just, what's up, Codester?
Yeah, I'm doing that.
Also, shout out to Midas Touch Productions. He is an awesome action figure customizer and does, dioramas. Yeah. He does dioramas specifically.
Go to wouldyoukindlystudios.com.
Yes. Yeah. Midas Touch is his toy photography. Instagram, yeah.
So wouldyoukindlystudios.com is our friend Andy. He makes amazing dioramas. I have some of his work in my house. It's the best.
He made Farmer Billy Hills' awesome gargoyles backdrop.
Castle. Oh, it's so dope.
Sick. Anyway, Bayley being completely on her own will feel that much sweeter whenever she does overcome Io Sky and become the new WWE Women's Champion.
Yeah, do you agree? I got Bayley winning it.
Oh, really? See, I kind of thought you were going to go with Io.
No. That lady just put a backpack on in 2020 and threw WWE in that bitch and just carried it for a whole COVID year and just to get hurt right whenever we got fans again. And she's never gotten her goddamn flowers. And you know what? Tie time. Let's do it.
I 100% agree, but I also get the vibe from like that Bayley is the type of person that would be like, yeah, but give it to Io.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, same. Bayley's like, it should be Bayley. I want it to be Bayley. So, yeah, that's fair. Singles match, LA Knight versus AJ Styles. This is one that I think is going to be, I've enjoyed this build more than I thought I would. If you told me this is what LA Knight was doing 6 months ago, is not being in a championship match of any kind. Because, my prediction was he was going to either take the belt off of Logan Paul, or he was going to be the one to take the belt off of Gunther.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's facing AJ Styles in a grudge match. Very well done build for a grudge match, but just kind of a singles match, which is like, all right, well, this is, they have invaded each other's homes, and LA Knight sat down in the makeup chair, came out looking all emo and shit to attack AJ dressed as a cameraman. So
it was pretty solid though. I loved it. That was good.
That's good. Only been better if he'd had an LA Knight mask and took off the LA Knight mask. I don't even reveal it was LA Knight. It's got to be LA Knight, right?
Yeah, I got LA Knight.
Yep.
Goddamn. This...
Speaking of taking the championship off of Logan Paul, he will be defending the United States Championship against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens in a triple threat. This is one I genuinely don't know. I'm going to make you pick first because it's like, I could see Logan Paul retaining. He's going to have this prime bottle on the center ring, all WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's done well as champion.
Yeah.
Like he's been a lot of fun to watch. Orton is Orton. He's come back looking great, moving great, jacked to the gills.
Leading that locker room.
Let's go lead the locker room. And then you have Kevin Owens, who is such an under... Like, to me, even though he's regularly featured and he's always given, interesting stuff, he somehow still feels underutilized.
Yeah. I got Logan Paul winning.
Okay, see, and I have Randy Orton.
So here's what I think is going to happen. I think that it's going to be... Randy Orton's going to hit the RKO on Owens.
Mm-hmm.
And then Logan Paul's going to shit can him and get the pin off of the RKO.
Yeah.
And then that can lead to a... And I was talking, whenever we did PWU a couple days ago with Hunter and Shannon, I said, I was like, and that can lead to a Randy Orton versus Logan Paul thing for a couple of pay-per-views, which would be amazing for Logan Paul, because, Logan Paul is really good. I can't state that enough. But you know what would make him better? Being in the ring with Randy Orton for a little bit. Because, Randy Orton very much has that Samoa Joe vibe where if you accidentally kick the back of his shoe walking in, the locker room with him, that's a blood feud for him. He took that personally. That's Randy Orton.
Yeah.
It's Orton and Joe have that. So I think Logan Paul's going to win, but he's going to win off of the RKO.
And I could see that. I also can see Kevin Owens knocking out Logan Paul with the brass knuckles. And then Orton shit-canning Owens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the brass knuckles will play into the finish. Guaranteed.
Oh, potentially, yeah.
Someone will have been knocked out with the brass knuckles because they'll be legal. It's a triple threat.
And I think that's why I'm not counting that as much.
Mm-hmm.
I think, unless he hits the RKO and then Logan hits the fucking knuckles.
Yeah.
And gets rid of Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Which, would totally negate the use of brass knuckles, but, whenever they do a two-face in a heel triple threat, mm-hmm. I always expect the finish to be face hits other face with finisher, heel shits cans them.
Yeah. I mean, because that is typically the formula. That's kind of the go-to.
It's such a good finish.
And part of the reason that's kind of why I think Orton steals one from Owens here.
Yeah.
Because it would not surprise me if down the road we got a heel Owens run again.
Which, here for.
Yeah, of course. I will watch whatever that man decides to do. Just just ready to go. Six-man tag Philadelphia Street Fight. The Pride. Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford taking on the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, Occam, and Razor. Again, this is going to be fun. I like that. On the one hand, I have enjoyed this, even though I'm not completely sold on the Final Testament. Mm-hmm. It's cool to see AOP back. I do kind of wish that Lashley, Dawkins, and Ford had something a little bit more substantial to work with, but they're good about just, you know, making the best of whatever situation they're in. And so I think this will be a fun 4-minute just hardcore sprint before Bobby Lashley pins Cross after a spear.
God damn you. I was going Pride. Because I think Montez Ford is going to get the pin.
Oh, really?
I think we're leading towards... I want to lead towards a Bobby Lashley-Montez Ford singles feud. Because you're eventually... Like, remember when I talk about Santos Escobar shit or get off the pot?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to shit or get off the pot with Montez Ford as well.
I feel like there's less of a clock on Ford, though, because he is still part of the tag team.
Fair.
Once he goes into singles, I think they do need to, like, capitalize on it quickly.
Do it fast, yeah.
But I think the fact that he is still, you know, he is with Dawkins, and now they've added Lashley to the group, like, I think that kind of gives it legs before, but at the same time, like, yeah, just, like, give me the Ford run that I want. Because that, every single time, I always say it, future WWE champion Montez Ford.
Yeah, and I feel like this is going to be, and spoiler alert, I feel like this is the mania where we get the belts off the people that are only there every couple months.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I feel like we're going to have to start, like, a lot of people are going to have to hit the ground running if we're going to have the titles on weekly television again. Which, fair. I think we're going to have.
I don't think they're going to do as many defense. Like, I do... I think regardless of who's champion, I don't think the number of defenses is necessarily going to skyrocket. Like, if Cody beats Roman, yes, absolutely. He will be defending that title more than Roman did.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily think he will be defending it weekly. I think it'll be every pay-per-view.
Oh,
every premium live event, but I don't necessarily think that we are going to have this, like, the code open, you know, probably.
No, and I'm not saying that.
For Cody Rhodes. Like, the Cody Rhodes code open, because it's short for Cody.
Yeah. I get what you're doing. Fuck off.
Say that one. There's a nice ring to it. Are you picking the Pride?
Yeah.
Pride. That's both of us. And then, undisputed WWE Universal Championship, the most prestigious prize in professional wrestling, the Uwoo Championship, is on the line as Roman Reigns defends against Cody Rhodes, either in a Bloodline rules match or the Bloodline is barred from ringside match, which will not be honored even if it is that stipulation.
I was about to say, that's the dumbest stipulation you could ask for. Because, like, I think I said it, I was like, here's the thing, guys, I don't think that Bloodline's on the up and up.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they get barred, they're still going to show up.
Right, because The Rock is on the, like, he can just be like, oh, actually, I own a stake in the company, and no, there will not be consequences.
So here's, here was the finish that Shannon called. And this, I hope, does not happen. But he said, you know, it would be perfect, a dusty finish. And me and Hunter was like, how does that work? So Cody beats The Rock. Or no, Cody beats Roman. And then Rock demands to get the match restarted because of some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then Roman beats Cody. And then Triple H comes out and be like, no, Rock, even though you're on the board of directors, I run the show, restart the match. And then Cody wins. So, like, we were just like, no, no, it's going to be a fucking one fall match. If this happens because Shannon said it, I'm going to be so mad at him. Because it's going to be the most overbooked piece of shit of all time. And I already know it's going to be the most overbooked piece of shit of all time. I don't need fuck finishes with it.
Yeah. You're gonna laugh. I'm not sold it's Cody.
Oh, I'm also not sold it's Cody.
I think there is a greater than 0% chance that WWE does the funniest thing they could ever fucking do.
Cody has to win it, dude. I get what you're saying. I totally get
what Cody has even said, like, if I don't win it here, I may as well just be on commentary.
Yeah. Because I agree.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't give a fuck about the story anymore. You're going to make me wait 3 years? You're not... This is... It's taken less time to get Avengers Endgame after Infinity War than it's going to take for goddamn Cody to get this goddamn story finished.
But think of how much the people will want it at 41, Dalton.
Fuck you. Also, it's a zero ending. It's a 40. They always do this shit on the zero endings. We got, wait a minute, what was WrestleMania 10? Let's not count WrestleMania 10. WrestleMania 20, we got Benoit and Guerrero at the end. 30, we had the whole Bryan Daniel like storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be Cody. It has to be Cody. Who won the end of WrestleMania 10? Fuck.
I know
the opening match because it's my favorite opening match in Mania history. It was a Hart versus Hart. That match fucked so hard too. Go back and watch if whenever you get your Peacock. If you want to watch one more match this weekend, go watch WrestleMania 10, the opening match. It's Bret Hart versus Owen Hart. It was so good. Actually, that might have been the Mania that Bam Bam Bigelow faced LT, and that was the main event. But let me find out.
Who knows? I mean,
the internet knows. It was Bam Bam Bigelow versus. Wait a minute. No, it wasn't. Give me a second. Keep talking.
This is fat. I was going to, and then you interrupted me to be wrong. You do have it?
It was... Oh, yeah. Bret Hart beat Yokozuna for the title. So, yeah. They've done this 3 different times where the underdog wins.
Did he beat Owen in the opening match?
Yeah. Owen beat him. Yeah, Owen beat Bret. And then at the end of the night, Bret beat Yokozuna.
Okay.
Bret had 2 matches that night. He was scheduled for 2 matches.
You know what would have been cooler? Then Bret beating Yokozuna.
What?
Is if he would have lost to Yokozuna and then been like, actually, Hulk Hogan should fight you.
That would be really cool if they hadn't done it the year before.
And they should have done it again. Because it was that neat. I don't know. I'm picking Cody. Because obviously you have to pick Cody.
Yeah, I'm picking Cody.
Like, there is no chance that it's not Cody. Except the thing is, there's a chance it may not be Cody. It's a small chance. They're going to make me believe there's a chance it's not Cody. And then they're going to pin Roman. And then Roman Reigns is going to pin Cody because The Rock hits him with something. Even though Rollins and Cody beat them and Bloodline was barred from ringside.
Mm-hmm.
And then the internet's going to be so mad. And yeah. I'm going to be a little mad. Like, I'll be annoyed. But, like, I'm not going to be internet mad.
No, and that'll get a lot of heat off of CM Punk after that whole MMA hour thing he did, so that'll be good.
So, I just
piss the crowd. Just piss off the internet fans more, it's fine.
Who gives a shit? So, yeah. It's gotta be Cody. The story will be finished, and then he's gonna come out on Raw and be like, the story has just begun. And then he'll tear up talking about his dad, and then Damian Priest will come out and cash in on him and lose.
Yeah, but I was like, it would be so funny. Again, finish the story, fucking Priest.
I'm just gonna throw it out there. If that happens, if Priest doesn't cash in on Rollins, I want you to be nervous. That's not paranoia. That's the Usos. That's Damian Priest coming out after the main event of Cody, like all the pyros going off, Cody wins, and you hear the Judgment Day chant start going. It's gonna be good. And if that happens, I win. I don't care I got every single other one of these predictions wrong. I win.
No, because whenever Priest comes out, then The Rock is going to make that face turn so he can face Roman, and he's going to rock bottom Priest on the stage because The Rock has to be over at the end of this night, goddammit. Because again, you're forgetting Black Adam. You're forgetting the Black Adam movie. You know, one of the biggest villains in DC Comics, he made a face. Or a good guy or hero. My bad. I'll stop using wrestling terms. You're forgetting The Rock is... Oh, he made it work, baby. No, he didn't. He's gonna... Priest will come out and he's about to do it. And he's either gonna cash in and the bell's gonna ring and The Rock is gonna fucking lay him out. Or he's gonna do it as he's going to the ring.
No. No. I don't think The Rock costs...
I do want to go to bed tonight, by the way.
No, we're done. Okay. We're done after this. And we're going to hope that it uploads all and I don't have to do a weird split on it again. The Rock doesn't cost Roman the title. But after Cody leaves the ring, the last thing that we see is Roman blaming The Rock for losing. And then The Rock laying out Roman.
The Rock leaving this weekend as a heel will be the most shocking thing for me.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. The Rock leaving this WrestleMania week series... Mm-hmm. A heel will shock me, because if they don't do it Sunday, they'll do it Monday.
Monday or Friday, yep.
Yeah.
100%. So, well, that's it. That is our WrestleMania predictions. What are yours? Do you think we're way off base? Do you think we agreed too much? Do you think we didn't agree enough? We could be that way. This is a topsy-turvy world we live in, folks. Will Cody Rhodes finally finish the story? Will Damian Priest cash in? I hope so. That'd be neat. I'll give myself a bonus point if that happens.
Jesus Christ. That's not how that works.
It doesn't matter. Oh, okay, Mr. Well, I'm going to pick a team and then maybe if a different team if they don't end up in it.
We agreed on that, though. You can't just
I'm
be
sorry. I thought someone
points.
Wanted to go to bed. Kind of seems like you should. You're getting a little cranky. Little D-boy need a nap?
D-boy. Fucking
little binky?
Love yourself, love each other, watch wrestling, whatever the fuck you say.
That's not even... Oh, I am... I don't think you understand how legitimately I want to strike you. Like...
Sorry, Ace. Hit the plug.
Anyway, WrestleMania is fun. Wrestling is fun. I'm very excited for WrestleMania. I hope you're excited for WrestleMania. I hope that you have a great time watching it, either by yourself or with friends, because it's going to be a good weekend of professional wrestling. We will be back next week. We will have our WrestleMania review. We also may do just a bonus episode of Wrestling with Articulation because there was a ton of action figure reveals that Dalton is very excited about, a couple that I'm pretty excited about. And so we'll see what happens. We'll see how next week goes. Stay tuned, obviously. We appreciate you hanging out with us in this extra edition of Nerdiest Part of the Ring. We'll be back next week with all of our thoughts, unless we just, you know, that visual of Cody Rhodes laying broken next to two rubber chickens this time.
Let's go.
Ends up breaking us. But we'll be back next week. Thank you all so very much. Until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and as always, watch more wrestling.